Amen. John chapter 15. Good to see you all here tonight. John chapter 15. Want to give a lesson. God, my very best friend. God, my very best friend. Here in John 15, let's go to verse 13. Well, let's go back to verse 12. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And then he goes into some description of this love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Of course, this reminds us of our greatest friend of all, the Lord Jesus, who gave his life for his friends. Demonstrating love greater than any other, or even a friendship greater than any other friendship. Verse 13, ye are my friends. So I've been a friend to you. This is how you can be a friend back to me. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. This greater love hath no man than this. And it was the Father's plan. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Father, our very best friend. The Lord Jesus, our very best friend. The Godhead, our very best friend. Let's pray and we'll look at it. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the Marzooks. Lord, I do pray that there's a lot of folks in those pictures. Thank you for that, Lord. I do pray that you would help. I know it's very stressful at times with genuine death threats and things like that. I do pray that you would be with them and help them, Lord, and give them protection and even, Lord, the peace that passes understanding, that they would be able to focus and have a boldness and a door of utterance. I just pray you be a blessing to them, and I pray that our prayers even tonight might be an extra blessing and help to them. Be with this lesson now, Lord. Thank you, O God, for being our very best friend. Help us to reciprocate that friendship. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so isn't it amazing that God could ever be friends with us? Abraham, it's interesting, there are several times where it talks about Abraham being a friend. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, this is a prayer being prayed to God. Art thou not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Abraham, thy friend. Isaiah 41, verse 8, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. God saying, Abraham, my friend. James 2, 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And you might say, well, good for Abraham. I'm glad that he was friends with God. But then I like what the Bible says there in Acts 10, when Peter was dealing with Cornelius. He said, then Peter, in Acts 10:34, opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. As much as God valued Abraham, God values you and I. We can be friends with God. We just read it here in John 15. He laid down his life for his friends. Now, who do we believe Jesus laid down his life for? Every human being, right? Do we believe that? He laid down his life for his friends. Every human being. My you got to be careful sometimes. Like, you're my best friend when you're little, right? You're my best friend. And then tomorrow, that person's going to be my best friend. Best friends forever. Until tomorrow, then that person's going to be my best friend. And I know when you get a little older and you're a little more careful with those things, and it's, hey, you are one of my very best friends. Thank you. I value you. That's a Much safer way to put it. But little kids with their best friends. I remember having a best friend as a kid. And I grew up in Utah, and my best friend, in a small Christian school, there wasn't a whole lot of people my age. So my best friend, his dad lived in California. And so he came from California, and it was Aaron Venneri, my best friend, it was his birthday. And so his dad, Randy Venneri, was coming from California. He knew Aaron. He didn't know any of Aaron's friends. So they came from California, and he was going to take us to a hockey game. Aaron and a few of his little buddies, which was me. You know, me, was, and there was about five or six of us going to this hockey game. Well, we went in the main gate, and I walked in ahead of everyone else, and my mouth was hanging open. I'm thinking, I've never seen so many people in all my life. I'm a little boy, I think 7 or 8 years old, and I'm just in awe, thinking this crowd is gigantic. Well, little did I realize that when I walked in and started staring, they had come in and went to their seats. So when I turned around, they were gone. And at first, you know, you panic a little bit, but you try to keep it together. And so I began looking for my crew and looking. And looking, and looking, and looking. The first period comes and goes. There's only 3 periods. The second period is about halfway gone, and I'm in tears. This security lady, she sees me. Are you okay? And I'm like, no. And she's like, who are you with? And I'm like, my friend's dad, Randy Venneri. And she goes, would this hockey puck help make you happier? Yes. So I have this hockey puck, and she says, we're going to take you down to the announcer's box, and we're going to call for Randy Venneri. Well, so as you know, the halftime-ish is kind of between the second and third period, not really halftime, but whatever they call it. Well, they had pulled out a new vehicle onto the ice, and I don't remember what they were saying, that somebody's going to win this vehicle tonight, or you're going to be entered to a sweepstakes to win. I don't remember, but they pull out this vehicle onto the ice, and then they're like, now, little boy, who are you with again? I'm like, Randy Venneri. And so they're like, Randy Venneri, would you please come down to the announcer's box? Randy Venneri. Now, he didn't know I was missing. My friends forgot that I was part of the crew. They weren't looking for me at all. So this new vehicle is out on the ice, and they call for Randy Venneri. He is so pumped. I won this truck. And I still remember watching him bound toward the announcer's box. I'm Randy Venneri. I'm Randy Venneri. And he gets there. You're ready. I am. I'm Randy Venneri. And they're like, is this kid with you? Oh, the disappointment when he looks at me, he's like, I don't even know. And I'm like, yes, I'm with him. How disappointing that my best friend was in that and never missed me. My best friend never missed me. I got back and I was, you know, I'm tearing into them. I was like, what in the world? And they're like, did you get a hockey puck? Well, yes, I did. And so I was, somehow came out the hero. I don't know how that worked. But how disappointing. My best friend didn't even know I was missing. Well, we have a best friend in God Almighty, and he never loses track of us. I love in the Bible where you have the woman that gave her 2 mites. It seems like she gave everything and walked out the door. And sometimes when you read a story like that, you think, I wonder whatever happened to her. I wonder whatever happened to her. But you know what? God never wonders what happened to her. He knows exactly what happened to her. And he looked after her the rest of her life. And still today, she is in his safe keeping. Isn't God wonderful? What a friend that we have. Tonight I want to give you 6 points. It'll be an acrostic, Brother Ramus, acrostic. So friend. So F-R-I-E-N-D, some things about God's friendship with us. And of course, I remember teasing Mr. Ramos years ago with his acrostics. And I remember getting up afterwards and saying, I'm going to try that. I'm going to give a lesson on child rearing. And I'm going to teach an acrostic. You know, Isaiah had a son. So I'm going to draw a point from each of the letters in the name Mahershala Hashbaz. Well, and so I was teasing about that. But I'm not teasing. We're going to go through different things about God's friendship. God should be our very best friend. So F, when we think about God's friendship to us, and by the way, anytime the Bible talks about a friend, we can apply that to our very best friend. And he's the very best of all friends. And so I'm going to look in the Bible, look at different places where friend is mentioned, and we'll remember God being our very best friend. F is forthright. Forthright. He tells us what we need to hear, not necessarily what we want to hear. The definition of forthright, to be direct, straightforward, and honest. So when the Bible talks in Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Boy, there's no one more faithful than the Lord God. He's the one that tells us exactly what we need to hear. And Proverbs 27, 17 talks about iron sharpening iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. How does iron sharpen iron? Well, with friction. With friction. And God, our very best friend, he uses friction to develop us. He uses suffering. He uses trial. He grows us. We call it growing pain. Growing pain. And through those things, he develops us. Boy, a life separated from the world and unto Christ, that's what brings preparation and spiritual prosperity and productivity. But a life given over to amusements of this world bring dullness, lukewarmness, and ineffectiveness. Christ will always tell us what we need to hear. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. God is never deceitful when he speaks to us. He tells us exactly what we need to hear. Christ is the living word. He will always speak the truth because he is truth. As you read the Bible or listen to it being preached, there will be times when you don't like what you're hearing. But that is exactly what's happening. It's heavenly friction. Heavenly friction sharpening you to make you into the best version of you that there can be when you resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, Jesus, our very best friend. No one else even comes close. The opposite of that is the kisses of an enemy, which are deceitful. Be careful not to mistake flattery for friendship. It will seem sometimes, as somebody says those seemingly kind words, oh, that's my dearest friend, but the Bible warns. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A friend will look for ways he can be a blessing to the other, but a flatterer, boy, they're working their plan to own, to some degree, the one that he or she is flattering. They can artfully create an addiction in somebody to flattery, they being the supplier, and then they own that person as the consumer, being addicted to flattery. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So forthright, God will always tell us. That's why you want to make sure you're spending time with God, your very best friend. There in Psalm 139, it does say, doesn't it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, because you're going to be forthright. You're the one that knows me. I want to hear from you what you see, because there's no deceit. There's no deceit of the flatterer. You'll tell me what I need to hear. By the way, it's not all friction, is it? Proverbs 27, verse 9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Oh, God encourages us too, doesn't he? There's that friction. But David was able to encourage himself in the Lord. Boy, I have friends that will write to me. I have friends that will shake my hand and say, hey, praying for you if you ever need anything. In this church, we have friends, don't we? You almost have to be careful when you tell them a need, because they're going to do all they can to help you. You're going to drop what they're doing. And boy, what friends we have. And what a friend we have in Jesus. I think of those men that David just mentioned that he would love a drink from the well at Bethlehem. And they endangered themselves to go and get that for him because they valued him. Oh, we have a friend in God. The Lord Jesus died for us. He put himself through that for us. He laid down his life for his friends. He is our very best friend. Number two, so he's forthright. Number two, he's reliable. He is reliable. The Bible describes a friend in Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend loveth at all times. At all times. He loves in the daytime. He loves at the nighttime. He loves in the good times. He loves in the bad times. A friend loveth at all times. And that reminds us of Jesus, doesn't it? 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. He loved us before we loved him back. And a friend loveth at all times. He's the one that loved us first. And he's looking for us to show that we love him back. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But he's a friend to us. He loves. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? And then we also think, I love Jesus, does he know? Have I ever told him so? Jesus loves to hear me say that I love him every day. He's reliable. Even in the face of betrayal, he called Judas friend, didn't he? There in Matthew 26, verses 48 through 50. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. A friend loveth at all times. Teenager, don't listen to the devil when he explains to you that you have sinned away your chance at a friendship with God. Boy, the devil, he can convince us. We mess up. Look around. There's not one person in this whole auditorium that hasn't messed up. But none of us have sinned away our chance at a friendship with God. Our very best friend. Boy, a friendship rubs off on you, doesn't it? The Bible says, Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Boy, you want to spend time with your very best friend and let him rub off on you. Mr. Schrock just preached on Enoch walking with God. How fun that God would take the time to walk with any of us. Genesis 5:24. So he's forthright and he's reliable. His friendship is incomparable. That's our I. Incomparable. And we talked about it all right. Greater love hath no man than this. And you say, well, people have laid down their lives for others, but no one has laid down their life like what Jesus did when he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. To know the rejection of his own father when he turned his back on the putridness of our sin. No one has laid down their life like Jesus has for us. This friendship is incomparable. There in John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants. We don't even deserve to serve him. Remember the prodigal son when he came back? He had it all rehearsed. He's saying, I'm not worthy. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Would you do me the great honor of letting me just be a servant? And the Father treated him better than he felt he deserved. And here, you and I, he says, henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. This book is so precious. God could have made it just a rule book. Do these things or else. But it's so much more, isn't it? He didn't have to make this so much more. But he loved us. And he made this more than just a rule book. It's a love letter that tells us how we can walk with our very best friend. We don't deserve that closeness. It's incomparable. There is an exclusiveness to this friendship. Remember, the Bible says in James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? So God doesn't just want to be one of our friends. God doesn't even want to be one of our very best friends. He wants to be our very best friend to the exclusion of all other best friends. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be, not even if you are a friend, but if you're looking to be, if you're looking for your chance to be a friend with the world, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. He takes his friendship with us very seriously. Very seriously. And here, especially in that salvation relationship, when you have joined yourself to him in salvation, it's adultery to have a friendship with this world. There's an exclusiveness to our friendship with God. Even here in John 15:14, where he says, ye are my friends if I'm your friend, but you're my friend if, there's an exclusiveness, if you do whatsoever I command you. God says, I've been a friend to you. How are you doing on your side of things? Are you eager to obey me each and every day? So he's forthright. He'll tell us what we need to know. He's so good and kind in the process. Oh, he's reliable. A friend loveth at all times. His friendship is incomparable. Greater love hath no man than in what God did when the Lord Jesus laid down his life. It's exclusive. It's exclusive, this best friendship. He isn't to be one of our very, very best friends. He is to be our very best friend. And he's very nearby. He's very near us. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 18:24? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's very near. He's very near. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Boy, when God described how his relationship with Moses there in Exodus 33:11. Now, we don't speak to God face to face like Moses did, but we do enjoy a friendship. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When God said in Exodus 33:11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. It's not a long distance relationship that we have with God. He's very near. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Boy, he is so good to us. This friendship is forthright and reliable and incomparable and exclusive. And we have a very near friend. And the last thing is, it's a demonstrated friendship. It's not something he promises to do. He's already proven himself in the friendship, hasn't he? Now, we've already read it. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down. And we know that Jesus has already laid down his life for his friends. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Our God up in heaven has already showed himself friendly in the many kindnesses that he has shown to us. He showed himself friendly to us. How am I doing on my side of this friendship? My wife and I will argue. Believe it or not, yeah, it's awful. Pray for me. And I'll say, hon, it just seems like our marriage is so one-sided. I'll be like, I don't know if I'm bringing nearly as much to our marriage as you bring. And then I'm like, no, I think, you know, we have one of those fun arguments in mock humility, right? But I tell you, how one-sided is your friendship with God? How one-sided is it? Great friendships are built on communication. You can be as close to God as you are willing to be. Remember, the Bible tells us in James 4:8, the first part there, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. It's a promise. It's a promise. He's waiting to draw close to you as soon as you are willing to take him up on this promise. Make sure your time with God isn't a thing that you do, and you'd call it devotions. It's not a thing that you do, it's a person that you meet with. A very special person. Could I challenge you tonight to say, Lord, I love you. I'm looking forward to that special time with you tomorrow morning. We all know it, myself included, how it becomes so easy to, it's something I check off the list, my time with God. It's something I check off the list, not someone that I meet with. And I think it's wonderful if you can remember tonight, Lord, tomorrow morning, I'm looking forward to spending time with you. You're my very best friend. Thank you for loving me. I'm looking forward to it. And then tomorrow morning, Lord, I'm going to enjoy this time with you. Tonight, Lord, I want to have a little bit of special time with you again. I can't wait. Can't wait to spend some time with you. My very best friend. Oh, it's got to be real. It's got to be real. He's your very best friend. Yes, he's Almighty God. Don't ever forget that. But he's our friend at the same time. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Talk with him. Walk with him. Ask him for wisdom. Praise him. Tell him how much you need him and love him. Tell others about him. Thank him for all the good things in your life that you enjoy, because each and every one of them come from him. Basically, I'm telling you, return his friendship. Return his friendship. There was a Sunday school teacher that began her class with a question. Who is your very best friend? They all named some chum of theirs who they believed was their best friend. And after the last child named off some person, the teacher exclaimed, I have failed you all, which bothered the children. The teacher went on, boy, I've been teaching you for almost a year now, and not one of you mentioned Jesus as being your very best friend. And she went on to teach a lesson, Jesus, my very best friend. And after that day, the students were never again ill-prepared for that question. I'm asking all of you that after today, we would never again be ill-prepared if somebody asked us that question. Who is your very best friend? Let's see, if you go out to 94 and head down to 65 and head down toward Indianapolis, about an hour and a half away from us is Lafayette. It was a man named Charles Weigel that was born in 1871 there. He became an inspiring preacher and was a gifted songwriter. One day he returned home from an evangelistic crusade to find a note left by his wife of many years. She explained that she was leaving him and taking their only son with her because she had had enough of being an evangelist's wife. She wrote, "I'm leaving, Charlie. I want to go the other way, toward the bright lights." Over the next several years, he became so despondent, there were even times when he contemplated suicide because of the terrible feelings that no one cared for him. His spiritual faith was gradually restored over time. Having authored several hymns before this time, he felt compelled in 1932 to create a gospel song that would contain a summary of his past tragic experience. Having renewed his commitment to the Lord, Weigel went on to produce 400 more songs, nearly 1,000 in all. But it was the choice words of "No one ever cared for me like Jesus," which came from a heart that had been broken, that are probably his best known, have been a comfort to so many. "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day, he comes to me with new assurance. More and more, I understand his words of love, but I'll never know just why he came to save me. Till someday, I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Your greatest friend has already showed himself friendly. What are we waiting for? Return the favor. Reciprocate. Invest in your greatest treasure, a friendship with Almighty God.